Welcome to Soul Sciences, where inner exploration meets outer experiences. I'm your host, Charlene, inviting you to listen in, subscribe, and learn more about the place, the edge where inner soul meets outer science. Thanks for joining this episode of Soul Sciences. Hi everyone, this is Charlene, and I'm here with Angela B. Chrysler from New York State, yes?
Yeah.
I love talking to people around the world, and you are in New York State. Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Angela, tell us some of what you are working on in general, some of the areas that you are excited about.
Well, there's Brain to Books, which is a whole thing, and I'm actually here to talk about Fire and Lies, which is my third book published, which will be out on July 1st.
All right, so you want to talk about just your books. Let's go there.
Just my books this time.
That's just fine. Let's go there. Angela, tell us about the first two books. You mentioned you have two books published.
Yeah.
Tell us about the first two. Is this the third in a series?
This is the second in a series. Series is Tales of the Druid. The other book is Broken, which is a standalone memoir. And that one, there's just so much to say about Broken.
There is. I've read it, and it's a very moving and powerful piece of writing.
Okay, thank you very much. It was a finalist in the Wishing Shelf Awards for 2015. So it's definitely getting recognition. And the other book is book one of the Tales of the Druid series, Dolor and Shadow.
And tell us about Dolor and Shadow.
Dolor and Shadow is an epic fantasy, high fantasy, that is focused primarily on Scandinavia, Viking era, Norse mythology, and Celtic mythology. It takes the European history from the 10th century and combines it with Celtic myth and Norse myth. And then I've got my own story woven through all of this, and I literally braid the three timelines together.
Astonishing. That is intense, yes.
That launches this massive world, and the story actually revolves around an elf queen who, she's also a save user. Save is magic in this realm that works very similar to the force and or chakra, and she can control and wield the energy at different levels and at different grades. So she can produce fire, she can produce lightning. And she has a massive past that she doesn't recall. And she is a huge pawn in this bigger scheme. And she's also queen of her people, which again plays into a massive role. And in Dolor and Shadow, she's put in a situation where the Celtic gods are hunting her. And to escape the gods, she has to team up with the man she is sworn to kill. And I liken it to enemy mine, very much we're in a situation of life and death, and I have to pair up with you and moving forward. And they have to set aside their differences to survive, the Celtic gods hunting them.
Boy, having gods on your tail, that would be hard to handle. I have a hard time if my neighbor's upset with me. I can't imagine having the gods angry with me. Oh, that would be very difficult. And so Fire and Lies is the newest. And can you tell us something about the story without giving away anything?
Yeah, let me try this. Kalan is the main character. That's the fire-throwing, temperamental witch queen. And Rune is her counterpart, who she's destined to kill. She's determined to kill him. And she ends up developing trust with him. And she gets to that point where she realizes that everything she had believed isn't true. She's not who she thinks she is. And Fire and Lies picks up exactly where Dolor and Shadow left off. The two books were meant to be written as one book, but due to their length, 270,000 words, they were cut into two parts. So for me, this is a part two of one story. So it picks up right where it left off. She and he are now taking, now that they've survived, they now step back together and examine what happened, where everything went wrong. And it gets down to the wire. There's a war that's being launched, and they have to seriously do some questioning and digging to find out what happened, where and when. And this is where they start to sort out the past and the lies that people they trusted told them. There's a lot of pieces to it.
Hence the title, Fire and Lies. Oh, yes. Now, what really kicks off the second part of the story, do you think? What is the exciting first scene? Can you give a little nugget?
Exciting first scene. Dolor and Shadow ends, spoiler alert, with them at the end of their trek across ancient Norway. I can pull up a map of Norway and show you the exact path that Colin and Rune journey through Norway. I plan on journeying this. It's from Jotunheim Mountains, the Jotunheim Park, up to Trondheim, Norway. And then they go east towards Sweden to the Lake Ersund. And then they travel the Glomma all the way down to the Kattegat, which is that piece of that body of water between Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, the Kattegat. And they get down to the Glomma, and that's where the book ends. And they find Bergen. This is Rune's younger brother, older brother. Haven't really revealed that yet, but it's his brother. And Bergen and Colin have a long past of trying to kill each other. So he joins their group, and they're on the Viking ships. And the Viking ships have this whole other history as to how they ended up in my book. And Bergen, Colin, and Rune now basically give her a choice of, look, you're coming to Gunnir, you can come as our prisoner, or you can come as our guest. And she doesn't view that as really any difference. It's, okay, so I'm going as your prisoner, I guess. And the three of them basically have to work together to figure out what's going on exactly. And throughout Fire and Lies, Colin's given the choice of fighting on either against her own people or with them. And now fighting against the new family she's found. So that's one of her trials. Exciting thing, I would have to say, is probably on the Viking ships when she goes head-to-head with her against Bergen's 300 men army right there on the ship. So, yeah, and of course, you can throw fire, and you've got 300 Viking warriors standing around her. And they have their own culture, their own rituals back then. Vikings have their own honor that they carried through. So fighting, of course, and defeating a warrior was a huge part of this culture. So, of course, when they are confronted with the challenge, they take it. And that thing was pretty intense, crammed on a ship with 300 enemies all trying to kill you.
Yes, even though you are a fire thrower, that would still present some problems. Absolutely. So what can readers expect from your series?
From the overall series, I love travel. And that definitely comes through in the books. I love history. I love those books where you're reading through a series and you find this little foreshadowing or nugget. And you brush it off like, oh, that's nothing. And then five books later, you find out that it was quite something. And when you go back to that first book and you're reading it, you can look at that and go, that's my favorite kind of book, and that is definitely Tales of the Druid. So, and it's funny, I had a few people come back and say, okay, so there's a lot of useless information here where you're saying this or you point out something little like this, and other people come back, fantasy lovers especially, and they say, I love all the rich detail. And at the end of the day, a lot of that rich detail is actually foreshadowing for something that's coming up. So, and it's very historically accurate. I cannot emphasize the historical accuracy combined with the Norse myths and the Celtic myths. I pulled from John Lindo, who is, he wrote the book, literally wrote the book on Norse mythology. His book is the one that Wikipedia quotes. I have that book. So I pulled so much information from him, and it all comes together. One of the descriptions that's been given to the book beautifully is it's the Viking era seen through the elves' point of view.
Oh, my.
That's really what it is. You get to see how the Ragnarok unfolds. You get to see how the Celts involve themselves and vice versa with the Vikings. You get to see exactly how much the Vikings were spanned over the entire world during this time period. And the time period is 995 AD when Olaf Tryggvason invades Norway and establishes rule and ends the petty kingdoms that were established prior to that point. You see it all. It's all very much there, and it's the predecessor to what happens later in 1066 AD. I don't get into that, and it doesn't get that far, but there's so much that's laid down in this era that really will shape our world later on.
So what genre would you put your books in? Because they sound on the one hand like fantasy, and on the other hand historically accurate, on the other hand not quite historic fiction.
It is fantasy. It's absolute epic fantasy. It's alternate history, really. But this is where it gets sticky, because book one, even though, I mean, the historical events are there and they are parallel to the story, but they are not the forefront. So it's more like in the background, the news of the day. This is beautiful when you pick up a newspaper and you're, okay, so, you know, this war was just declared. That is going on in the background. You can see it, but it is not the story. And you see basically how these elves react to it.
Oh my.
That's really, the war is going on and Olaf is invading Norway, but the elves are sitting there going, yeah, that doesn't concern us. We have our own issues. We don't care about that. And then you've got another elf clan going, yeah, but it could involve us. They are wanting our land. And in point of fact, they do invade Alfheim, which is Lake Vänern in Sweden. It is the southern part of Lake Vänern. That is Alfheim, according to the stories, it's actually on the map. It did exist. It's a region in Norway. So that's where the story takes place. So while Forkbeard in Denmark is attacking Olaf, and while they have the Danes, Dane law happening in England at the time with the kings of England, all this comes together and you see the elves responding to it like, yeah, that's happening, but I don't care. We have our own issues. And then you see what's going on with their issues. And every now and then, a current event does feed into what's happening with the elves. And you do see how they respond to it and react to it. But they very much do have their own. So historically wise, it is historically accurate, but it is definitely not the center point. I would definitely high fantasy, alternate history. But there's just so much fantasy. It is fantasy. It's just epic fantasy.
Wow, it sounds so multi-layered. It's very, very intriguing. Now, with media out there like Game of Thrones and History Channel's Vikings, how does Tales of the Druid play a role in this trend?
Oh, my goodness. I spoke to one reader, who explained that Lord of the Rings is on one end of the aspect, and Game of Thrones is on the completely different aspect. And Tales of the Druid is not Tolkien or Game of Thrones, but it is definitely a third corner of a triangle. And the reader explained that the same research was done. And in point of fact, she was correct. The same research was done. This is really where the three of us, Tolkien, Martin, and myself all came together. I was literally standing in the footprints of both of these authors at one point. I was pulling up the Prose Edda, and there is, for Hobbit lovers, there is this moment in the Prose Edda where one of the elves is called Gandalf, or I'm sorry, one of the dwarves is called Gandalf. And then in the Prose Edda, the 13th century document written by the Icelander who collected all the Norse myths that we have today, there is a section that literally names the dwarves. The naming of dwarves is what this section is called, and it is Ori and Nori, Biffer Buffer Bumber. It literally quotes, like, Tolkien didn't adjust this. He literally copy cut pasted this passage out of the Prose Edda and pasted it into his book.
Oh, lovely bit of information. Isn't that cute?
So I got here and I opened the Prose Edda. I'm looking through and I'm doing my research and I see this and I went, Tolkien was here. Okay. And there's this one other part of my research where I was researching the Icelandic high pillars. They are in Viking lore, in their history. They had these pillars established on either side of a throne. And these pillars were carved with wolf heads. And every Game of Thrones fan out there is going, oh! They're pulled right out of the history books. Iceland was founded because the Vikings sailed their ships right up to Iceland when they found it. And they picked up these high seat thrones and they threw them overboard. And wherever they landed is where the gods wanted them to land. So then they sailed around, and months later they found the high seat thrones, the high seat pillars. And they described them. There's so many, these pillars are everywhere. They're in museums in Scandinavia. And you can see so much of Game of Thrones in this. And I definitely, there was so much inspiration that came from that, so much.
That's fascinating, Angela. That's it. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. Join us again soon. And in the meantime, remember, be kind to each other. For more Soul Sciences, go to www.soulsciences.net or email me at charlenej@rogers.com. Many thanks to Kevin MacLeod for that great intro and extra music called Carefree. Bye for now.